A few weeks ago, I attended the Vanderbilt Divinity School's graduation. I was excited to celebrate with my friends who will graduate and many will receive their first appointments, much like I did last year. The dean of the Divinity School, Emily Towns, gave a charge to all the graduates. She said, "Live your lives out of faith that is grounded in possibilities and not just realities. You can end sexism. You can eradicate racism. You can banish war and violence." And she continued with a series of "you cans." A thought quickly entered my mind. Oh, Vanderbilt Divinity School, you're so fancy graduating all of these idealists who think they can save the world. And then a sting of sadness that somewhere between tossing my hat last year and sliding into the pew of graduation ceremony, I had lost a little bit of my faith in possibilities and not just the realities. This scripture reading for this morning tells us of how we can consider possibility while also recognizing realities. The psalmist asks us to consider the heavens. When was the last time you looked at the stars and the moon? Maybe you leaned your head back and gazed until your neck ached. Or maybe you laid down in the wet grass. Or maybe you looked through a telescope and it allowed the lenses to give you a closer view. Regardless of how you experienced the heavens, you probably thought of the vastness and then the universe beyond it. Yet the psalmist gives us the image of God creating with God's fingers, almost as if God is a child building with blocks or a chef with a dash of salt and adding it to the feast. When we consider the vastness of the universe, we wonder about our place in it all. Therefore, the psalmist gives us a question. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? What are mortals that you would care for them? The novelist Marilyn Robinson acclaims the method of using a question. She observes, "A question is more spacious than a statement, far better suited to express wonder." The psalm tells of the wonder of God's fingers creating the heavens and lets us experience the wonder of the question, why would God bother with us? The past few Sundays, I have listened to Michael's sermons with the same kind of wonder. Who am I when I consider the death-dealing disease of polio? Who am I in the face of Monsanto, agribusiness legislation, and farming? Who am I when most of the protein I consume has been genetically modified or cruelly raised? Sometimes it's not just God that seems too magnificent to care for us. Sometimes creation's problems seem too great for us to care. I think this question, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, is not only connected to selfishness, but also a lack of sense of self. The inner critic tells us that we're not good enough or strong enough or rich enough or fast enough or whatever enough. Or maybe the potentials and dreams you once had at birth seem dead and gone. We are currently in the season of spring, but sometimes we feel stuck in winter. We look out upon our lives and see a winter landscape. It seems what we planted in the fall is now buried deep in the snow and frozen over. So we ask the psalmist, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Yet, the psalm goes on, yet. And in that one word, yet, is all the grace of the universe. Yet, you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. This is the promise of spring. What seemed dead was only dormant and will break through the earth's surface. What was hibernating will now enjoy a spring feast. We are created a little lower than God and crowned with glory and honor. The psalmist uses royalty language. We are crowned with glory. The psalm begins, "O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God is your majesty." God reigns over the universe and invites us to govern with him, crowning us a little lower than God's self in the ordering of creation. God created humans with the strategic ability to be queens and kings of creation. In this interpretation, it matters deeply what kind of king, what kind of ruler we believe God to be. Do we believe God created this world and then abandoned us to rule? Do we believe God is a distant dictator barking commands? Is God our leadership coach? The reformer John Calvin believed that we first know God as creator, and then we understand God as redeemer. The laws and leadership are based on creativity and redemption. God's power moves through all creation, making all things new. And that same reigning power is planted and cultivated in each one of us. Marilyn Robinson puts this psalm in conversation with redemption narratives, which is perfect for today because it is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Robinson speaks of the discrepancies in the narratives about Jesus' resurrected body. Yet she says, in all the varying accounts of Jesus' encounters with his followers after the resurrection, Jesus is concealed from them by his ordinariness. In every instance, he is among them on terms of friendship, once even making a fire and cooking supper for them. Does the disguise of plainness make us unaware of the divinity in creation, in our relationships, and in our very own bodies? As a boy, Jesus would have heard the words of this psalm. What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Throughout Jesus' whole life, he illustrated God's reign on the earth. He used his fingers to heal and touch and welcome all people. Jesus best exemplifies God as Redeemer, not only in the majestic images of the crucifixion and the resurrection, but also in our experiences of the ordinary, routine, and daily life. We have the opportunity to spend our lives daily searching for God, not only in the stars and the moon, but also in the mundane, in the breaking of bread and the rejuvenation of water, the simple things before our very eyes. Today is Confirmation Sunday. Our sixth graders have participated in community all year, learning about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Today we ask them a question. And we've asked this of every parent baptizing a child, every person receiving baptism, and every person being confirmed in the church. It's the second question, and it's this. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form it presents themselves? This question asks us to accept the incredible responsibility to partner with God in the care of all creation. We will answer this question. You guys will answer this question. I do. But more importantly, you will live the question with your lives. You will seek and find God in the daily lives redeeming the world and do our very best to reach out your fingers and partner with God. I believe this confirmation class, you all, have the power to end the global economic and ecological crisis. You have the ability to prevent poverty. You have the ability to end war and violence. You have the ability to teach and preach hope for your parents, for your fellow congregation, for your brothers and sisters. As they commit to partner with God, may we remember our own commitments to join them. Thanks be to God.